and my law, just as I accept my Father's commandments and abide in his law. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Actually, not the image we want to hear, is it? We want to hear about unconditional love. But Jesus says that if we want to know his joy, then we have to obey his commandments. Just as he obeys the Father's commands, we also are to obey his commands. And it is by obeying his commands, which is to abide in love, that we are able to know joy. When we are young, we think joy comes with freedom, right? I want to do what I want to do. If I can just get out of school, I'll be happy. If I can just get through college, I'll be happy. If I can just have enough money to have my own car and my own place, then I'll be happy. Right? It's always about that bit of freedom. And we may, as we grow older, learn to nuance that a bit. But we still have this sense deep down that joy will come when I can really do what I want to do. Like right now, you know, hopping on my motorcycle and heading cross country sounds like a really good idea. But what Jesus promises is something different. Not that temporary passing happiness, but that joy that comes from a life that is rooted in our Creator, that is lived in the way that we are designed to function, so that we are doing what we are made to do. Joy and satisfaction comes in that kind of life, not in the life just pursuing the things that we think will make us happy. Augustine of Hippo is a wonderful study in this, I think. By the way, by way of background, there are two Saint Augustines. There's Saint Augustine of Hippo, and there's Saint Augustine of Canterbury. Two different Augustines, don't confuse them. I'm talking about Saint Augustine of Hippo. He's the earlier one. He was born in 354 AD, very early in the life of the church, only about 30 years after the Emperor Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christian faith, because many Romans converted. Augustine was born into a very wealthy family. His father, Patricius was his name, had a great deal of money. His mother was a devout Christian, his mother Monica, who's actually known in the Catholic Church as Saint Monica. She is the patron saint of wives and abuse victims. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But Augustine's father, Patricius, is the one who controlled and guided his education. He would not allow Augustine to be baptized. And he made sure that he was well-educated, but well-educated in the secular philosophies. If you wanted to be a man of letters, so to speak, in those days, you studied philosophy. That was what made you wise and erudite, interesting in cocktail parties and so forth. So he made sure that Augustine got a good education in these areas. And Augustine took to it with gusto. In fact, he adopted a philosophy that was fairly popular at that time called Eudaimonism, which said that the purpose of life is to have pleasure. Kind of the old Miller philosophy, you know, grab all the gusto you can.
Right.
And he went for it. He was sold out to it. And he was known to, he talks about this in his writings, he pursued women with gusto, and apparently he was wealthy enough and charming enough that he had reasonable success in that enterprise. But his mother continued to pray for him, and to pray for him steadily. His father was actually known to have bouts of violence, you know. We don't know for sure if he abused Monica, but he probably did. Given the way things operated in those days, that's why she became the patron saint mothers in abuse cushions. But you prayed faithfully for Augustine, as well as Augustine's two siblings, a brother and a sister. Finally, at the age of about 32 years old, it all came crashing down for Augustine. He realized that all of this that he had devoted himself to, the learning, the philosophies, the women, the wine, the pleasures, all those things, brought him nothing. He realized that this was empty, that there was no meaning, that there was no purpose, and therefore, ultimately, there's no real satisfaction. Sure, there may be a few moments of TPP along the way, but there's no joy that comes with that deep-rooted sense of satisfaction and completeness in the soul. And he knew that. And he remembered the example of his mother, who lived a life of quiet faithfulness, probably sometimes very unpleasant life, but yet prayed faithfully for her children and for her husband. And Augustine became so moved by that, by seeing that deep-rooted sense of completeness and joy in her, that he became a Christian himself. The interesting thing about all that, really, is that he came to be the great spokesperson of what became known as Christian Eudaimonism. He took this philosophy of the pursuit of pleasure, and he brought it into the Christian faith, because he reasoned, and I think he was actually right, that God's purpose in creating us is that we would have joy. That we would have joy in our relationship with Him. That we would have joy in our relationship with one another. God did not make us simply to grit our teeth and suffer. You see, the alternative philosophy that was popular at that time was a kind of Christian asceticism. If you remember the history, you can see how this would happen. In about 320, the Emperor Constantine became Christian. So there was this giant rush of people into the Christian church. Politicians started becoming priests because they thought it would enhance their positions in the community. Wealthy people started becoming clergy members and giving money to the church. And if you wanted to be successful in business, you would become a Christian. And in the midst of all of that going on, those who were truly committed to Jesus began to realize, hey, we're getting a really watered-down version of the faith. And in contrast to that, there was developing at that time this kind of Christian asceticism that said self-denial, you know, denying myself pleasure, denying food, fasting, all that kind of stuff was becoming very popular in Christian circles. And Augustine was offering an alternative to that. I think it's a good alternative. I think God's intention for us is indeed joy. Now, sometimes there are struggles on the way there. Yes, certainly. We know that. The road to joy isn't paved in happiness, right? The road to joy is often paved with hard work, with labor, loss, with suffering, that we may know the completeness of that joy when it comes. So Augustine became a strong advocate of the idea that God intends for us to have pleasure. And there's nothing ungodly about enjoying a good meal, or enjoying the love of husband and wife, or enjoying time with friends. Those things are good and are part of how God has designed us to function, how He's intended for us to work. And indeed, those of us who begin to embark on this will realize that it is really in the life of service, in the life of loving and caring for others, that we find joy and satisfaction, not just in the momentary, but in that deep-rooted sense that I am in line with my Creator, that I am doing what I have been designed to do, that the wheels are working correctly because I am moving in the right direction. I'm not fighting my creation. I'm not fighting what God intended for me. I think that's what Jesus means when he says that we are to follow his commandments if we want to abide in his love and know his joy. It's not because he's sitting up there with a little joy dispenser and he's only going to open the spout if we're obedient enough. That's not it at all. It's that we will only be able to taste it. We will only know that flavor in living as he designed us to live. And that is in a life of love and service to God. And of course, loving and serving God means that we love and serve those who he places around us. Sometimes that's easy and full of joy and happy. Sometimes it's a little more of a struggle. But that's okay. Because we know where that road goes. Jesus wants you to be happy. More importantly, he wants you to know his joy. That deep-rooted, lasting joy that comes when we know we are in line with what we are created to be and to do. So if you ever find yourself casting about, wondering, where is the rest of it? Is this all there is? Is this all I get? I would suggest to you that the place to look is the commands of God. What it means to live a life marked by love and care for those God has placed around you. That's not a guarantee of every moment happiness. Sometimes that's very challenging. But it is a guarantee of the joy to which God wants to bring us.